Thank you guys for joining us up here. We're going to be starting a new book today. Anybody want to guess what that new book is? If we started in Genesis and we went through that together, the next book is Exodus. Exodus. All right, so that is the new study that we're starting with our kids. It's called The Wilderness, and it's a series that is part of a family worship. We did Genesis together. We're going to do Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That covers what is called the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible that were written by Moses. And today's title is The Birth of a Nation. The Birth of a Nation. Now, we want to let you parents know that these books are available. I believe Ray said that he had a few extra copies. If he hasn't given you one yet, he could set you up with a copy. We can put them out here for those of you who want to pick one up. This is designed so you can start these studies with your family. You can follow along with us at the church. In fact, we encourage you to go ahead and do this with your family prior to arriving here on Sunday mornings. We even make this part of our announcements on Facebook. We tell you which study that we're doing and the scriptures that we'll be covering with the children. And we want to encourage you as a family in bringing up your children in your home that this will give you a guide for studying the book of Exodus. Just they're available for you, and we want to help you with that. So please feel free to pick up one of those books for those of you who have children in your home. So, all right, you're here, Benjamin. Thanks for joining us. All right. So Exodus is the second book, as I mentioned, of the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses, but actually also by the hand of God, because the Spirit was inspiring Moses to write these words. Throughout Genesis, we have a family that is being preserved, that is being grown. God has promised Abraham, his servant, that he is going to bring out a great nation from his line. So this promise is still continuing to unfold and be revealed to us through God's scripture. So we have the history, we have the law, and we must understand that the Old Testament is foundational to our Christian walk and to our belief, because we have in there God's promises and his instruction to his people. And that is one of the reasons it's foundational to our Christian faith. So this is a book. Exodus is continuance of Genesis. And what is interesting is I was looking at the background of Exodus, and the title for Exodus is actually the Hebrew word that means and or now. So the way we should understand it is after we get through reading the book of Genesis and studying that together, which is what we just did, we see Exodus connecting to that. So Moses is writing after the end of Genesis, now Exodus. And that is the title in Hebrew for this book, which I thought was pretty interesting. There is a passage of scripture in Hebrews 11:22 that I want to read for you, because this connects Exodus to the last person that we talked about in Genesis. Does anybody remember who that was? Who was the person that we left off with? He was put in charge of all of the grain storehouses in Egypt. Do you remember his name? Joseph, yeah. All right, good, Christopher. I see you chime in on that. Right, Joseph. And it left off with Joseph, and in Hebrews 11:22, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So Joseph was given the vision out ahead that God would use the nation of Israel's exile in Egypt to grow them, to eventually bring them to a place that God had promised to Abraham. And this would have been almost 350 years from the time that Joseph died until the Exodus would actually happen. So God gave this vision to Joseph that he could see out ahead that this Exodus would take place and that God would fulfill his promise that was given to Abraham. What was the promise to Abraham? Well, it was to multiply the people, the nation of Israel, so that they would become a great nation. And so the introduction to this book, I'm going to read to you what I thought in my study of this was a good lead-in to our study of Exodus. It says, "The purpose of the book may be expressed like this, to trace the rapid growth of Jacob's descendants from Egypt to the establishment of the theocratic nation in the Promised Land." And that word theocratic is a big word. That just means people that are under God's governance. So we talk about our government being by the people and for the people. Here, their government, their ruler, they recognize as God, is the theocratic nation, and God bringing them ultimately to that Promised Land. So what does Exodus mean? Does anybody know what Exodus means? Yes, Olivia? You know what it means? All right, good. So she can affirm what it means. What about you, Christopher? You know what Exodus means? I see over our door back here, there's an exit sign. So if I walk through the doors, that means I'm exiting one place and I'm going into another. So if you think about Exodus, that's kind of where we get that word from. It's God bringing his people into a new place, a place that he had promised. So when we think about the book of Exodus, that's what it means. People being brought from one place and then led into another. Who wrote the book of Exodus? That's a good answer. It was God. But God used a person to write it down for us. Do we know who that person was? The first five books were written by him. Olivia, you know who that person is? Yeah, okay. She has all the right answers today. It was Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of Genesis. And now today we have Exodus, and that's going to be our study over the course of however many weeks we're going to be in here. I see there's 87 of these lessons? No, 88, maybe? Wow, that's a lot of lessons. So we're going to be here a while in the book of Exodus. All right, so let's get into the book of Exodus, and let's start reading it right at the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there with me, or just listen along as I read it. Parents and adults here in the congregation, we encourage you to read right along with us and participate in this study. Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Here's the questions that we're going to try to answer with the text that I'm going to read. So the first question is, what had God promised Abraham about his family? That's question number one. Question two is, how big was Abraham's family when they went down to Egypt in the days of Joseph? And the third question we're going to try to answer here is, what happened to Abraham's family while they lived in Egypt? Those three questions. What had God promised Abraham about his family? How big was Abraham's family when they went down to Egypt in the days of Joseph? And what happened to Abraham's family while they lived in Egypt? Exodus 1, verses 1 through 7. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Okay, so those are a lot of names, and that is our text for this morning. Now we're going to try to come back to these questions and answer those questions with the text from the scriptures that we just read. So what had God promised Abraham about his family? Do you remember what God had promised Abraham? It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. But God promised Abraham that his descendants would be like the grains of sand on the seashore. How many is that? Could you count all of those? No. Or all the stars of heaven. Can you count all the stars of heaven? No. Christopher shaking his head. What do you think, Matthew? Can you count all the stars? Yes, you can. All right, you're going to be counting for a while. You'll be counting for a while. So what had God promised Abraham about his family? That he would make them as many as the stars in the sky and as many of the sand of the sea, and he would make them into a great nation. Do we hear of Israel still today? We do still hear of Israel today. That indicates to us that God has fulfilled his promise, and he's continuing to fulfill his promise. How big was Abraham's family when they went down to Egypt in the days of Joseph? Did you hear it in what we read?
Eight.
Yeah, we'll have to multiply that by almost nine. 70 people. 70 people. Number eight? I might have. I don't know. Maybe I said verse eight, or you could have heard eight in there, but the number of people that went down to Egypt in the days of Joseph was 70 people. Now, what happened to Abraham's family while they lived in Egypt? What happened to them? Okay. Let me read verse 7 one more time. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. Do you think that's our answer? What happened to them? They were fruitful and they increased greatly. That means they had lots and lots of children, because God promised Abraham he was going to have lots and lots of children even after he died, so that they would be as great as the stars in the sky and the numbers of the grain in the sand. So I think what we see throughout the book of Exodus is God's fulfillment of this promise to Abraham, and that God would bless and make him grow in number, even long after Abraham had died and went to be with the Lord, that he was faithful, that God was faithful to keep his promise to Abraham. Now, the book gives us an example here. It's something that helps us illustrate the book of Exodus to us. And what it uses is a woman who becomes pregnant. And as the baby grows and develops inside of her, the baby is nourished. And the author uses this to describe what God is doing to his nation Israel. He brings them into Egypt, and he puts them into slavery there. And it's almost like they're going inside of the womb, where God is still providing for them, and he is nourishing them, even though it may not feel good to them all the time. But God is still preserving, and he's protecting them, almost like he does a baby who is in the womb of the mother, so that it receives nourishment, that everything that the baby needs to grow is being provided through the mother. So likewise, the Lord sent the Israelites to Israel to nourish them and make them grow as his people. Now, once they were fully grown in Egypt, God would then take them to a place that he had promised. What he had promised to Abraham is that they would be brought into the land of promise. And that is the Exodus that we will see unfold in this book. But it was only after they were fully grown, after he had developed them within their slavery within Egypt. But for a mom who is growing a baby inside of her, it's 9 months. But for the nation of Israel, it would be hundreds of years. So approximately 350 years for the nation to learn and to grow, and then for God to fulfill his promise. Egypt was a nation that did not know God, though. So why would God put them in the midst of people who did not know him or teach him or obey him? Well, it was to show God's power once again, that he could keep them and that he could preserve them, even though they were among people who were not his people. They were among people who were evil and did not believe in God. Like God's people in Egypt, though, believers today, those of us here in his church, we are strangers in an enemy land. And that's the lesson that we can apply to ourselves as we look at God preserving his people. We know that we are God's people, that he has called us in salvation, and he preserves us, even though we may live in a world, in a culture, in society that does not obey God, that does not listen to God. But that is not us. God is using the world around us to grow us and to shape us and to show us that this world is not our home, that he has prepared a place that is far greater for us, a promised land. Does anybody know where we go? Where, for a believer, when we die, when we leave this earth, what are we promised? Christopher? I mean, sorry. Benjamin.
Every believer in God, then we go to heaven.
Then we go to heaven. That is God's promise to us. Yeah, that is the promise. And we can look to his word and we can be assured that God will fulfill his promise, because what we see of his promises being fulfilled in the nation of Israel and him bringing them into the promised land, it proves to us that for those of us who trust in him, even though we live in the world that does not trust or worship God, that God will be faithful to keep us and to preserve us and to grow us while we are here, so that when we die, we will inherit that promised land of eternity in heaven with him. So God is causing his church also to grow as it lives in the womb of this world. And when its growth is complete, he will lead it out of this world into the glory of heaven, just as he would lead Israel out of Egypt. Some final questions for us to consider here. What is the purpose of the first seven verses of Exodus that we just read? Anybody want to take a guess? What is the purpose of those verses? Olivia? Yes. Yes. You affirm everything here. That's great. What about you, Benjamin? Yeah, those are all good things. So we can trust in God's promises, the Bible. That is his promises to us. So I think that we can say certainly the purpose of Exodus is to tell us how God protects, how God fulfills his promises, but also how God purifies, how he uses this world that we are living in right now to make us realize that there's something far greater for those of us who are his children, and that he will one day bring us there to be with him. How does God making the children of Israel grow in number help our faith become stronger? I think it's again answered with, it helps us to know that he keeps his promises, that we will see his promises fulfilled when we study this book of Exodus together. Even when we cannot always see his hand at work, even when we cannot see him, he is still working to do exactly what he says he will do. And why do you think God, unlike us, always keeps his promises? Why do you think God always keeps his promises? Olivia? Yes. It sounds like the car commercial. Yes. It shows us that God's character and what he says of himself in his word is that he never changes. And if he never changes, that means his promises that were spoken to us are going to be fulfilled, because God will not change on any of his promises. He never changes his mind. And the second thing is that it's impossible for God to lie. Can any one of us lie? Can we tell a lie? Yes. We know that. And Ray just read it for us in Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have told lies. And that's because we are human and we are flawed. We are sinful, but God is not. He will always fulfill his promises. He cannot lie. And God already declared the end from the beginning. And we can know that his plan will come to pass. What he has already brought to pass in our reading of the New Testament, what he has fulfilled in bringing us salvation through trusting in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, and that one day the promise yet to be fulfilled is when he will return for his people in his final coming. Right? So let us pray for the grace to trust in every word and promise of God, to preserve us in faith, and even when we can't see his hand at work, that he is still doing it. He is still working to fulfill his promises to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just this beginning of another book to read of your promises fulfilled, and what you had promised Abraham to then bring your people into the land that was promised to them, and how their time of being in exile in Egypt, it doesn't always look or appear pleasant. And we know for us too, as believers in this world, that we are going to be challenged in our faith. We are going to see things going on around us that may not make sense to us, Father, because it is a world that is subject to sin and death and decay. But by grace, you have called us out of that. You have saved a people. You have chosen, and that you have called and saved those who are called your children even here today. And we thank you that we can trust that your promises will be fulfilled in us. Help us, Lord, as we continue to grow in the knowledge of who you are and in the knowledge of all that you've done for us. Help us to apply wisdom to it and understanding, Lord, that you are sovereign and that you have purposed things that you will do, and we can rest in those promises. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.